Thank you for listening to the Presbyterian Church of the Roses worship service program this morning. We are so thankful you have decided to join us today. We are the Church of the Roses at 2500 Patio Court in Santa Rosa. We are the church that has the program that feeds the Montgomery High School students a free breakfast every morning when high school is in session. We support the Boys and Girls Club across the street on Hammond Drive. And we also sponsor a lot of different programs such as the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, the Council on Aging, a spiritual direction program. We have hearing aid support groups and many other activities that you can join us and become involved. We believe that the Church of the Roses is here to reach out with nurturing love to the whole community of Santa Rosa and beyond. So we hope that you will feel comfortable and welcome, not only listening to this service today, but also coming in person to our worship services on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So God bless you, and we hope you enjoy this day. Now, our second scripture reading is the scripture that was just acted out, so I'm not going to go into the detail, but if you want some reference to the scripture, it's in your bulletin all printed out, so you can read it if you want to see more of the details of the scripture. And the PCOR players, I'm just so thankful for you and for making it real to us. It's so fun to just imagine what that really was like. I was thinking, too, how scientifically advanced these kings were because they all have glasses on. Like they figured out glasses way back then. So today we are celebrating Epiphany, which commemorates the manifestation of Jesus Christ to the world with the visit from the Magi. And I don't know if you've seen this art before that's on the cover, oops, but this art is by an artist called He Key. And He Key painted the scene of the Magi praising Jesus in a Chinese setting. And he himself is Chinese. And he did all of the major stories of the Bible like this, with these kind of block, kind of almost Picasso-like images. So if you go onto He Key's website, you'll see these. They're all so beautiful. And the amazing thing is that He Key donated all of his religious paintings to the PCUSA headquarters in Louisville, Kentucky. And you can see the originals on the wall there when you go to visit the headquarters. What a gracious gift to the Presbyterian Church. And he became Presbyterian and a Christian when he first saw Raphael's Madonna and Child painting and was just drawn to it and wanted to learn more about Jesus after he saw that painting. Now, there have been a few mentions about Epiphany in the news and on Facebook, and I found this image pondering how the Magi might have to test before their visit. I thought, how contemporary can you get? But I did that exact thing before visiting my new grandbaby, so it's so important if you're going to visit a baby to do this. And I also found this one, too, the next one. It says, just to be perfectly clear, these gifts are for your birthday and Christmas. And that's the sad thing about someone who has a birthday right around Christmas. They always have to deal with that. But the pandemic has really changed the world, hasn't it? And we're having to adapt, and I'm so proud of you all for what you are doing to adapt. But what is it about this story of the Magi bringing gifts that still resonates with us every year? For one, this is part of the Christmas story that does inspire us to give gifts to one another at Christmas. It's not just St. Nicholas, it's also this story that inspires the giving of gifts. But if you consider the value of the gifts given to the baby Jesus, these were not ordinary Christmas gifts. These gracious gifts from the Magi were life-saving gifts. The Holy Family, we know, was poor and desperate, and the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh gave them the resources they needed to later flee to Egypt and avoid Christ being murdered among all those that Herod killed. And I'll go into more about that later. But from the very beginning of the life of Jesus Christ, we see the importance of giving from our resources and sharing and providing for those in need. That's the first big message that you get from this story. The rich share their riches with the poor, providing life-sustaining gifts. And the story of the life of Christ teaches from his very beginnings the importance of equity. For those who have much, much will be expected. Or it has been said in Luke 12:48, to whom much is given, much will be required. It means we are held responsible for what we have. If we have been blessed with talents and wealth and knowledge and time and the like, it is expected that we will benefit others with those resources. And another important part of this story to highlight is that this is the first example of civil disobedience in the New Testament. The three Magi were the first of many in the New Testament to refuse to obey the ruling authorities. This was a time when disobeying the king of that region was a capital offense, punishable by death. And if they had followed the king's order to return to him and tell him where the Christ child was born, it would have caused the death of an infant. And later, the order from Herod meant the death of hundreds of male children. Clearly, Herod's law needed to be disobeyed. The Magi knew if the order was unjust and immoral, it should be disobeyed. So even today, the legal authorities and the law may not always be our ultimate moral guide. Think about some of the past laws in our country that were immoral and unethical. Slavery was at one time lawful. Segregation was legally sanctioned at one time. Taking indigenous people's property and children away was legal during the formation of the United States. Simply put, just because something has become law, it may not dictate our ethics. God does. Saint Augustine said, "An unjust law is no law at all." So what is the difference between a just and an unjust law? Martin Luther King Jr.'s holiday is coming up soon, and he gave a speech about this topic before he was killed. MLK said, "A just law squares with the moral law of God. An unjust law is out of harmony with moral law." And theologian St. Thomas Aquinas said, "An unjust law is a human law that is not rooted in eternal law or God's natural law. Any law that uplifts human personality is just. Any law that degrades or oppresses human personality is unjust." All segregation statutes and policies were unjust because segregation distorts the soul and damages the personality. It gives the segregator a false sense of superiority, and those segregated are given a false sense of inferiority. And MLK also quoted theologian Paul Tillich, who said that sin is separation. Segregation, he said, is an expression of man's tragic separation and estrangement from God and from one another. And Martin Luther King Jr. emphasized, "A law is unjust when it is inflicted on a minority that, as a result of being denied the right to vote, had no part in devising or enacting the law, like taxation without representation." The last session of our apocryphal Jesus study that I conducted during Advent covered the scriptures titled Revelation of the Magi. And this great course's course said that the brief story about the Magi in Matthew leaves all sorts of questions unanswered. And so Matthew is the only text in the Bible, the only gospel, that has this Magi story. And so the text, the Revelation of the Magi, attempts to answer those questions, but it was never accepted into the formal canon that makes up our Holy Bible. But still, the Coptic Church and the Eastern Orthodox churches tell some of these stories in their church services. And for instance, the name of the kings that you saw today, those come from another text that someone just added to this story. So a lot of the things that we think about, like the idea that there are three kings, actually came from the Apocrypha rather than being in the Matthew text. You'll see it doesn't say how many kings there were, but they assumed there must be three because of the three gifts. But the most striking feature of this text is what scholars call its universalism. The child Jesus reveals that he is the light that lies behind all religions in the Revelation of Magi text. And in that text, he invites all traditions to worship him. Now, the Syriac Christians who wrote the Revelation of the Magi were seeking to unify all believers when they wrote it. And so the third important part of the story of the Magi is how they represent people coming from the East. The three kings are thought to be coming from the East, far from Jerusalem, to pay homage to Jesus. They are examples of how Jesus welcomes everyone, no matter what they look like or where they come from. And the kings stand alongside the poor shepherds as they show their respect and honor of the Christ child. God sees them all as equal and allows them all equal access to this new light of life who was born to show them the way. And fourth, this story brings us back around to the important message that follows the story of the Magi's visit. Their precious, gracious gifts enable the family to flee to Egypt to escape Herod's wrath and stay there for 3 years. The Holy Family becomes refugees, and without the gifts given by the Magi, they may have had to return to their homeland at the time Herod was murdering all male children under the age of 2. Matthew chapter 2, 13 to 15 reads, "Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.'" And I have an image of this to show too. "Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. And this was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I have called my son.'" God shows us through this journey that we are called to be compassionate to refugees who are fleeing violence and trying to find a safe harbor for them and for their children. And this inspires us to ponder, what gracious gifts can we give to help refugees seeking a safe harbor today? Some of the Afghanistan refugees have settled in Roanoke Park, and our Interfaith Council of Sonoma County is working to assist them with their basic needs. So if you are interested in helping with this effort, please let me know. They need everything since they arrived here with basically nothing. Let us pray. O star-flinging God, whose light dances across eternity, dazzle us into your presence this new year. Open our hearts to the mystery of your love. Awaken us to your presence, found in the ordinary. Reveal to us what is possible, but not yet present. Heal us that we might be healers. Reconcile us to you and to ourselves, that our living might be reconciling. Stop us often, we pray, with news that is good, with hope that holds, with truth that transforms, with a word tailored to this trail we're on. Give us courage to stand up for what is just, to go home by another path when the well-worn path promotes injustice, and to invite your light to lead us. May the word of your grace guide our steps like the sun by day and the North Star by night as we travel into the gift of a new year. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Presbyterian Church of the Roses radio program this morning. We encourage you to go to our website at www.churchoftheroses.org and donate. We'd love to have your help keeping our roses blooming and all of our outreach programs growing. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.